Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Fully anticipate near the end of the week, we will have an announcement in which the Coyotes are on their way from Arizona to Salt Lake City. It's a foregone conclusion at this point. Now it's just working through dotting the I's and crossing the T's. And one of those happened yesterday. Joining us now, Barry Bloom from Sportico, one of the best when it comes to analyzing the business of sports. Huge fan of Sportico and what they do there. Barry, thanks for hanging out with us, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, Barry.
Hey guys. Thanks for the nice introduction.
Yeah. So let's talk about the story you posted yesterday. The NHL's executive committee approving the move of Arizona to Salt Lake City. So kind of walk us through that process. How many people were involved in that, and what's the next step to bringing this franchise to Salt Lake?
Well, I mean, I've been covering, you know, the NHL for like 40 years, and the process for transfers of franchises and sales and moves has always been the same. I mean, it goes through the executive committee, which is 10 owners. It's chaired by Jeremy Jacobs of the Bruins. They advise the commissioner, and they advise the rest of the owners, and so they would have to make an approval of this move before it went on to the Board of Governors as a whole. And that's where we are. You know, they approved it. At some point, it's going to go on to the Board of Governors, and they're probably going to approve it, you know, via fax, email, whatever. There's no meeting scheduled. So it's going to be done, you know, by electronically in a, you know, North American vote.
Has there ever been a hang-up in the Board of Governors process?
You know, there's always hang-ups, but I think in this case, this has become such an issue here, particularly with the amount of money, you know, in a revenue-sharing league that the Coyotes are losing playing in Mullet Arena with, you know, basically they're selling 4,600 tickets at top price every game. The other 400 or 500 to 600 are going to college students for like $25 each, and then they put them on the open market and make money on them, which is something they haven't been able to solve. So the revenue situation for the Coyotes, you know, they get, you know, a pretty much average ticket price of about $165, which is about a league average price there, which is much higher than what they used to charge up in Glendale. But they have no marketing, no advertising, no, their name really isn't even in the arena. You know, they don't have a team store. They don't, you know, they don't have a local TV contract, you know, of any strength to make them upfront money. I mean, they're losing between $40 and $70 million every year playing in this building, and it's had an impact on the players, and it's had an impact on the rest of the league. So I think it's something that they just want to get out of at this point and move on.
And it's not a bad situation to unload a team for essentially $1.2 billion and then have the opportunity to pick up an expansion team here in a few years. But according to multiple reports, the sell price is $1.2 billion. The owner of the Coyotes gets $1 billion, and then $200 million gets dispersed as a relocation fee. Apparently, I mean, I got to imagine that doesn't suck for a lot of NHL owners, too, that are probably pretty happy about getting a windfall of some cash.
Yeah, I think the one downside for, you know, Coyotes ownership and management is, and it's a major one, is that among the multiple things they did wrong here over the last few years, one of them was not their hockey operations. You know, under Bill Armstrong and his group, they've done a great job scouting. They've done a great job, you know, choosing draft picks. You know, that was kind of the goal, to basically rebuild 2 or 3 years ago with draft picks. Some of those players have come to the big club, and they've started to produce. I mean, they were a team this year that had a chance to make the playoffs early on and then went into a 14-game losing streak. I'm seeing now that they're attributing to that to some of the rumors about the club leaving. Although I could tell you, I didn't hear any rumors about the club leaving until about a couple of weeks ago. So I don't know whether that contributed it or not, but they had a 14-game period where they had 1 point. and that killed their playoff run. But now, basically, they've straightened out, and they've been very fun to watch and great in this building. And, you know, I wonder, you know, what it's going to be like with them playing in the Delta Center, which I understand is not particularly friendly for hockey.
Well, that's one area that I wanted to go into with you a little bit here, Barry. Can you help us understand some of the NHL requirements for its venue? I know you were just talking about what the Coyotes were resulted to, but I want to know, what responsibilities do you carry as an NHL owner with the venue that you play in?
Well, I mean, what they did do, you know, with the mullet was, you know, when their relationship became completely estranged up in Glendale, and they looked around the area for alternative places to play, is that the NHL did come in, and the locker rooms had to be, they built locker rooms on it external to the arena that would be at least NHL friendly. They weren't particularly great, but you know, they didn't have locker room facilities that they could use. They had to put in broadcast facilities. They obviously the ice, I mean, the ice was great ice, maybe the best ice that I've ever seen. The games were fast. You know, they built a quick team. You know, that was one of the big things. But with the Tempe vote last year, which went down by like 3,500 votes on three different, you know, referendums, you know, this was all built for, okay, we'll satisfy the NHL on the minimum because we're only going to be playing here 2 or 3 years. And then when the Tempe vote went down and they had to scurry around trying to find another place to build, you know, that took over a year. They are where they are now. And essentially you're talking about another 3 years in this building. So I think they'll look at Delta, and, you know, there's going to be certain things. And you can tell me, Delta is one of the few arenas in the country I've never been in, even for an NBA game. But my understanding is that when you try to put ice in there, you're going to be kind of in the situation they were at, you know, what is now Footprint Arena when they moved here in 96, is that you have ice that's skewed to one side and it creates a whole bunch of seats you can't even sell. You tell me if that's true or not.
I don't know about the ice situation and the quality of the ice. Hans and I are football guys, so we're learning this sport as we go along. So we can't. They do have NHL exhibition games. They've had you know, games here every year, kind of preseason games for the last six, seven, 8 years.
Last 7 years, and I've been to those games, and in where I've sat, there's been multiple times where I don't have the angle of the view of one of the goals, which is a problem. But
right.
I haven't
okay.
heard the ice issue. Is that something that's kind of commonly known out there?
No, the ice issue that I'm talking about is not for the ice itself. It's just the view of seats in buildings.
Oh, okay.
Okay, where you know, basically,
yeah.
you know, in Footprint Center, where they played the first 7 years here, you couldn't sell like 4,000 or 5,000 seats because they were all blocked.
Yep. And
it sounds like you've got a similar situation in Delta, which is going to be ultimately really remedied if and when they build a new arena.
Well, there's two different options here, and the legislative session, this last legislative session, essentially earmarked, $900 million to renovate downtown, kind of provide a sports district and funds available for either a new building or a complete gut job and a remodel of the current Delta Center. Because as of right now, capacity at the Delta Center for a basketball game is about 18,000. It's going to get cut all the way down to about 12,500, 13,000 for the NHL. And but, you know, Ryan Smith does have the backing of the state legislature. He does have the sales tax increase. So he's got money that's going to be available to him. And I know that this is something that they're going to address very quickly, whether it's going to be a new building. From the people I've talked to, I believe that it will be a complete remodel of the Delta Center, and they'll have a beautiful, essentially new building in the next 2 years. So this is, you know, you talk about the situation in Phoenix. There was the hope that they'd get their new building and a hope that they'd get the land. Here, they've got a plan. They've got it in place, and they've got a timeline. in which they will have this resolved. But you're right. There's going to be some issues over the next couple of years.
Okay. So, I mean, just opposing back to Phoenix, they have none of that in terms of state money or local money, you know, to build a new arena here. And basically the baseball team, the Diamondbacks, are going through the same thing right now, kind of searching around Maricopa County with their hands out, looking for money to help them either improve Chase Field or replace Chase Field, and they're having a hard time doing it. And we have in this area, I mean, if they build somehow, Morello builds the new building in North Phoenix, which I have my doubts that's ever going to happen. You know, we already have two arenas on Arizona State campus. We have the arena downtown. We have arena in Glendale. We have a baseball stadium, a football stadium, soccer stadium. We have multiple spring training sites. There's something like 11 of them. And all of that, except for maybe one spring training site, was done on public money of some kind or another. And now with this thing has come down to there is no public money anymore for these facilities. There's plenty of them here, and they're not going to build a new arena on public money. So there's no state money. There's no city money. In fact, you'd even have a building here that they want to build for the Coyotes or the future Coyotes that would be in competition in Phoenix with Footprint Center, which is basically owned by the city in part and the Suns in part, and would be in conflict with what Matt Ishbia, who owns the Suns, wants to do within his own city. So, I mean, there are just multiple layers of things to get through here. And I think what the NHL finally did was, you know, they've been hanging on for dear life here for 27 new seasons. You know, they love this market. It was something, you know, Bettman particularly wanted to do. But I think when the Tempe vote went down, and again, let me tell you, it was a good deal. It was as good a deal for Tempe and a team that I've ever seen. And, you know, when Tempe voted it down by, again, 3,500 votes, so 3,500 votes cost the Coyotes for all of Maricopa County, which is like 4.4 million people. That's wow. The stupidity of this whole thing. And so when that went down, it was like the death knell for the franchise. They were going to have to do something quickly and find something that was viable to get done quickly, or they were going to lose the team. And for them, you know, the franchise, Morello bought it for like $425 million, and a lot of that was debt. And then it's valued at, well, we valued it at Sportico at about $675 million, and the NHL is going to give them $1 billion just to get them out of there. So that'll pay off some of the money that they sunk into this thing. And there are multiple reports of and actually instances where Morello hasn't paid bills. He doesn't have a great reputation here in the county. So I really do feel that I was here at the first game. I covered the first game on October 10th, 1996, when they moved from Winnipeg, and they, the San Jose Sharks, they beat the San Jose Sharks 4-1. And I'm going to be there tomorrow night, and I do believe that it's the last time an NHL puck is ever going to be dropped in this valley tomorrow night.
Wow. So the expansion doesn't seem realistic to you then, Barry?
It doesn't, because the arena situation, and I've written extensively about it. You know, 2 weeks ago, I wrote a story about what they were intending to do. And when, Javier Gutierrez told me about it, and he's the president of the team, and I wrote the story, it was like it didn't pencil out. You know, I'm no expert, business expert. I mean, I've got a degree in English lit and another one in, broadcast journalism, master's in broadcast journalism. And, I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. I have 1 year of a law degree. And, you know, it's like you look at it and it just on the surface, it makes no sense. They don't have that kind of money to pour into a facility like that, especially when you're going to get into the opposition politically all over the place. Nobody wants them here. That's the problem. There's like maybe 10,000 Coyote fans who want them here, and they never showed up to the building in Glendale. There were multiple nights in Glendale where there was 8,000 people, 9,000 people in a building that was beautiful. It was great to watch a hockey game in. It was accessible. I mean, people in this county are so, you know, spoiled that they don't want to drive from the east side to the west side in this county because it might take them 45 minutes. When in every other place in the country, you know, you go to L.A., San Francisco, New York, people travel from Connecticut to go to the new arena on Long Island to see the Islanders. They take, you know, 2 hour transportation down to Penn Station to see the Rangers. You know, the people here are just not willing to do this stuff. And they tried to put the building as close as they could to their fan base, which is Scottsdale Tempe. And then, you know, the Tempe folks voted it down.
So just from a guy who loves the NHL, who covers the sport and knows this team, obviously from a win-loss record, not great, but from all the research and reading up and talking to people, it sounds like the infrastructure of what this team has in terms of young talent, assets that are available, the payroll, there's a lot of flexibility to really build a really good team fairly quickly. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it's a fun team to watch. It's got great young players. That's the way they've built the team. It's got, you know, a core of decent veterans. And with Ryan owning the team in Salt Lake City, you're going to get free agents who are going to want to play there, where at this point, over the last couple of years, you know, only guys who were good but not great, you're not going to get a great hockey player to come play in this situation because of the temporary nature of what was going on with the team and the facilities. But now, you know, you've got a great foundation. You'll see it's a fun team to watch. If you add a couple of more people, they're going to be a playoff team. You're getting a playoff-ready team. It's not there yet, but I have a lot of confidence that if Ryan holds on to the hockey operations and lets Bill do his thing, Bill and his staff have just done a terrific job under the circumstances that we have here. And so, you know, again, that's another issue with the quote-unquote expansion Coyotes, is that if they do get through all these hurdles and actually build this arena and buy back an expansion team from the NHL in 3 to 5 years, they're going to have to start hockey operations all over again, and they're going to be at square one with, you know, that an expansion draft, which will give them a chance to build the team a lot quicker than the way they were doing it now. Because if you take a look at, and this is kind of a little sidelight, you know, background, the Las Vegas teams and Seattle team were able to build very quickly into competitive teams because with the salary cap in hockey at about $70 million, you didn't have any problems building a team. You had $70 million to start with to get into the expansion draft and make trades and start building your minor league system without any, you know, cap space problems. And so if you have good hockey operations, you can build an expansion team that'll compete very much overnight. And certainly the Knights proved that. I mean, they went to the Stanley Cup Finals the first year, and they won the Stanley Cup last year, and Seattle is a pretty good team too. So that's the only thing I would say for Morello. You have to start all over again, but you're going to get a quicker jump on it if the NHL lets you draft in an expansion draft the way they have with the last two teams. Well, your team, you've got a great team. I think, you know, to build on, and that it should be very competitive very quickly.
Well, Barry, we appreciate your time. Thanks for hanging out with us. We look forward to catching up with you again, and should be fascinating next 72 hours to see how quickly this thing comes together.
Thanks, Barry.
Yeah, I would guess it'll come together pretty quickly in the next couple of days.
Yep.
Appreciate you.
There he is, Barry Bloom from Sportico. We tweeted out that story yesterday. Essentially, the executive committee has approved the Coyotes' move to Salt Lake City. Now it's just on to the complete Board of Governors. It's all a formality at this point. It's just, you know, I's and T's, and off we go.